All right, welcome to Popcorn with Candy. Is that right?
Sure.
I'm Octopus Caveman.
I'm Peter.
So on this podcast, we're going to break down chronologically the films of John Candy. Just theatrical films, no TV movies, no TV shows, just theatrical movie releases.
The ones we can find.
Right, yeah. So the very first one he was in is from 1973. It's called Class of 44. He's in this movie for roughly 1 minute, but it is a theatrical release, and we could find it, so we did that. But first, I just wanted to say why we were doing this. I grew up loving John Candy.
Yeah, same here. Just, he influenced me from childhood.
Great track record, really, when it comes to comedic movies. Even stuff that's not that great, he's always great in it.
Yeah.
So it seemed like it was a perfect thing for us to tackle. We both love John Candy, grew up watching him together, and yeah, so this should be fun. That being said, the early films might be a little bit rough.
Yeah.
This one included.
Very much so.
But keep in mind, we love John Candy, and we're not here to on him in any way. This is very much out of respect and love for the man.
Yeah, it's more the general state of cinema back in the 70s.
Right.
That we're going to hate on for a while.
Yeah, so 1973, this movie Class of 44 comes out. It's a sequel to a movie called Summer of 42. The IMDb synopsis is pretty terrible. So the sequel to Summer of 42 reunites Hermy, Oski, and Benji as they graduate from high school. Benji departs shortly to war, while Hermy and Oski go to college and experience fraternity hazings, cheating on exams, sex scandals, and other unsavory college activities. Hermy grows apart from his childhood friend Oski and begins a relationship with Julie that allows him to settle down into maturity. I cannot tell. This movie is classified as a drama, by the way, on IMDb.
That's what I thought. It was poorly done. But
it's hard to tell if this movie is a drama or a terrible comedy where you're just not getting the jokes. But the most interesting thing is, go to the IMDb page and check out the cast, and you will find exactly four people with pictures.
Great sign.
So let's get into it. This movie opens with the grimmest graduation ceremony ever.
I don't know about that, but it was pretty bad. We've all been to a bad graduation. This one is pretty high up there.
My very first note on this was Oliver Conant, the guy who plays Benji, sings the shit out of the national anthem.
Yeah, we all know one of those guys. I mentioned that too. It's just one of those guys that's just gonna like, I'm gonna sing this.
His mouth movements are just like so like
deliberate.
Yeah.
Either that or he's just really acting the heck out of it.
Yeah. So Class of 44, it's got the grimmest grad speech ever by like that, he seems like a teacher or an administrator or something, basically saying just like, we know most of you boys are going to go die in war, and happy graduation.
Yeah.
And then the valedictorian speech was really weird too.
The weird poem and everything.
Yeah, it was like, she was very weirdly melodramatic and had hands, and like, I've been to a ton of graduations, and every graduation speech is just like, we did it, guys! Class of 44! Woohoo! I have a hard time believing that the Class of 44 would be like, woohoo, we did it, you guys!
Yeah.
I'm sure those graduations were a little somber, but this made it look like a funeral.
It was pretty bad, but all the girls in the room were crying.
Yeah. And then the old lady comes up and makes it very religious.
Yeah, that was interesting.
And then it ends with the traditional singing of the Battle Hymn of the Republic by everybody.
Yeah, the entire class. Apparently, they're all in a choir.
Is that... Do you think that ever happened at a graduation, ever?
Maybe back then.
Do you think that was a thing? Like, Class of 44? Like,
maybe.
We should have done some research.
We could ask a couple of people.
Yeah, let's just call Grandpa real quick and like, hey, did you sing the Battle Hymn of the Republic after you graduated high school?
Worth asking.
So that was a really interesting start to it. So we cut to a grad party that's happening, and
Hermy's house, apparently.
Yeah, Herman's house. This is really weird because it is a sequel, and I don't know, because I haven't seen the first one, if these characters were well established in the first one, but it's kind of like watching like The Hangover 2, where they break up the group. Like, yeah. I'm actually more curious to see Summer of 42 after watching this.
I'm not. It had enough character development in the beginning that once you got over the whole jumping into it,
right,
you could figure out that Hermie was the smart guy who was actually working to go somewhere. And right. What's his face?
Oscar.
He's the jerk that is just a pervert.
Right.
We got that one quickly.
So at the graduation party, John Candy enters 8 minutes in and spends 45 seconds to a minute of screen time.
Yeah.
Where he basically gets made fun of. And we pulled a clip so I can show it here.
I tell you, I'd like to bronze her.
Hey, Hermie.
Yeah.
When are you going in?
No.
Well, what's the matter? Aren't you 1A?
I'm going to college. Educational deferment, first class.
Oh, well, that's very nice. I mean, that's okay.
Cut it, Paulie. If you weren't so stupid, you'd be going to college, too.
Well, there's a war on, remember?
Yeah, I heard the rumor.
Well, if you enlist, I mean, you can pick your own branch.
Oh, yeah?
I'm going into the Navy.
As what, a torpedo?
Good old Bosky, excuse me.
You'll have scurvy in a week.
So that's it. Like, he just, like, yeah. What are you going to be in a torpedo? Like,
yeah, this really dumb insults.
Nobody's likable to me at this point. I hate every single character in this except for John Candy. I think he turned in, like, a good acting performance, as always.
Just a nice guy.
It's just like,
ran his lines and then did a good job.
Yeah.
Nothing too special, but
Paulie, P-A-U-L-E, the most obnoxious way to spell Paulie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just, that was so disappointing. Like, I really wished that his character made an appearance at the end of the film so that I would have a reason to continue watching. But this was so slow-paced and weird that, like, after that I was just like, oh, that's gonna be it.
There were parts where I saw people in naval uniforms, and I was like, oh, are we gonna see him?
No.
Oh, are we wrong? Is he only in one scene? No, one scene.
Not at all. So then we go to the diner scene. Right, where Benji talks about how he is, how he enlists. Oski is weird and obnoxious, and stands up on a chair, and he's kind of a dick to Benji. Weird scene.
Yeah,
this just seems to be like just a series of scenes that they were just like, oh, we've got enough. It's an hour and a half. Let's call that a movie. Like,
maybe I had a note here that it seemed at some point where they were just trying to put cliches in.
Right. Yeah.
And that was the kind of cliche, my last night in town moment.
Right,
and,
but were they cliches?
My obnoxious friend
is
going to stand up and sing the military song, or the Marine song, whatever
yeah,
it was.
Yeah,
I feel like a disappointment were they, to my grandpa.
Were they cliches in 73? Or was like, was this part of creating that? Like,
it
creating
might be a
those
formula in 73, not cliche back then.
Right, maybe.
Wow.
So yeah, annoying diner scene. Then we just cut to a while later where Hermie...
A month later.
Did they?
Yes. When he calls back the whole chocolate-covered letter.
Chocolate-covered...
Because... What's his name? Benji has a letter, a box full of paper and a writing box.
Right.
And he's like, I don't want to be sending my mom any chocolate-covered letters. And I was really annoyed that, like, the next scene, Benji... Oski says, I haven't gotten one chocolate-covered letter. Who's going to remember that dumb little line a month later and call that back?
No,
that was
that's
kind of like forced little callback that some writer put in and said, no, I want that in.
Right.
Like, but it's stupid. Why say it?
That is really stupid. I didn't pick up on that at all.
Yeah.
I just picked up.
Boxing
I was
Dixie cups.
Yeah. I just was like, they make the boxes at a Dixie cup factory.
Yeah. They put Dixie cups in boxes.
Yeah. And somehow
it was just good product placement for the 70s.
Do you think that was?
Maybe.
They're like, we were around in 44, kind of.
Yeah, it was just big boxes that said Dixie on them. That's all we got to see.
I wonder if Dixie's been around since 44, if that's one of those like goofs where like, ooh, Dixie started in 1947.
Never know. A little bit of Google will tell us.
So they're just, and then they go, there's a weird scene where they're just laying on the beach together listening to a baseball game that is neither here nor there, doesn't need to be in the movie at all. They just listen to a baseball game and then back to work.
Yeah.
Just totally confusing. And then Benji stops by and he's in his Marine gear, right?
Yeah, right back home after basic and on his way out of town immediately.
Yeah, so he stops by to see them at lunch and immediately has to leave. He's like, hey, I gotta go to the train right now. You guys want to
Hey guys, I'm going, bye.
Right, it's the weirdest little like, hey guys, adios.
Yeah.
So yeah, Benji goes off, and Hermie and Oski eat a hot dog, and at the hot dog stand after they drop off Benji, Oski talks about how he wants to be in the army instead of going to college, and he's like, "Who wants to go to college and be with all those four Fs?" The four Fs, I happen to know this for some reason. Four Fs was something that like sleazy dudes would call girls. Because it was find, feel, f*** and forget.
Really?
Yeah. But I think it's so weird. Why would you say, why would you want to go be with all those girls you could f***? I want to go to the military and be with dudes and do dude stuff.
I don't know. That's a little weird.
And it's against his character type, too. Because this is the guy that's just, like, constantly trying to f*** everything.
Yeah.
But I just picked up that line and I was like, oh, weird. I don't know when that line is, or when that 4Fs terminology was popular. But I did pick up on that and I was just like, that's weird.
I got the feeling from the guy that he actually wasn't getting any.
Yeah.
And all of that was just a show because he really wanted it. He was just a perv that wanted it.
Yeah. Like, Oski's gonna grow up to be a rapist.
Yeah. Yeah. The things he was saying, too.
Right.
This whole movie was pretty rapey.
Yeah. So they go to their college.
I have to say, he ordered a hot dog, no sauerkraut.
Yeah, I think that was like a very, like, is World War II going on? Like, no Liberty cabbage.
Why would you order with no sauerkraut? When I order a hot dog, I'd say, just say a hot dog.
Yeah, and then put your stuff on it.
If somebody wants sauerkraut, they say, I would like a hot dog and some sauerkraut.
Again, I think that's probably a writer's thing. Like, well, we need to write in a reference that he's not going to eat that German sauerkraut on his hot dog.
You think that makes a little more sense?
Probably.
No, but that was weird. And then they got in this weird homoerotic little running fight where Oski throws all of his orange drink at what's his face?
Hermie.
I hate these names.
Yeah, I do too. They're the worst.
And we could just go by Oscar and Herman, but it's awful.
Yeah, I don't see how Oscar and Herman turn into Oski and Hermie, but...
Benji?
Yeah, Benji is... I mean, I've seen, like, okay, Benjamin, Benji. Get it.
It kind of fits the three of them.
But they're adults. It'd be like Benny or Ben,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. It all bothers me. But the orange drink bothered me. He just paid whatever his nickel for it and dumped it out.
Yeah, no, I didn't catch that, but yeah, that's so they end up at their no girls allowed college room, and
they took a train ride right there.
Oh yeah, yeah.
With Herman complaining the whole way,
right?
Where he's going about how they have to service the girls,
so they're not rusty.
Yeah,
right.
They don't get tetanus or something like that. Yeah. It was bad.
Okay, so they end up at their no girls allowed room at college.
Yeah. Apparently Herman is just a jerk because one of the other guys in the place looks up while they're having breakfast and says, "Good morning," like really weird, creepy good morning. But Herman just like looks away.
I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, it really bothered me. I'm like, you're not just gonna say hi to the dude.
Yeah, at this point, these people are super unlikable to me. I don't.
Yeah,
I don't know if the first movie if they were like this, but
I don't know.
This is not a poorly reviewed film either. Like. Summer of 42 is like a 7-something on IMDb. This is a 5.4, and most of the reviews are like, oh, it's a decent sequel. It's like, it's not hated on at all. Maybe just because not a whole lot of people have seen it. There's only 3 reviews on here on IMDb.
Gotta check Amazon. Amazon has some good reviews of anything.
I don't know with this. I don't know if this even made it to DVD. I'm surprised it was on Amazon Instant Video.
Okay, so after breakfast, where Herman is a jerk, they start the first class. And it's basically the end of the class. And I love that the professor stops talking and walks out the door.
Right.
Like, he's more of a jerk than anybody I've seen in the movie so far.
Yeah, the classroom scenes are really interesting. And this is where they start talking about the fraternities, right?
Yeah, he has this incredibly awful... sex, or it was, I don't know what it was.
Oski, his terms for fraternities. I wrote down the one that I could pick up was beta screw a whore.
Yes, and then hump a rebel bumpa.
That's the level of comedy in this movie.
Yeah, after being shut down from this woman as he totally is really sexist and gross and dumb.
this is why I have a hard time thinking this was a drama, because as you're watching it, there's these attempts at comedy, but there's no attempts to create any drama.
Yeah, other than right, but
Benji went off to the war, maybe, and who knows?
But when you're with your friends at that age, you're just going to be funny with each other.
Right.
So that's what I think they were trying to capture, is just these people being themselves.
Just poorly.
Yes, poorly written, small, natural right. humor.
You know, I weirdly, I think that, like, if they had cast John Candy as Oski, this would have been a comedy. Totally different experience.
Yeah, it would have been great.
Like, because he can pull off, like, kind of blue, a little bit like his character in Splash or something.
Yeah.
You know, he can go a little blue. If he was Oski, I think the jokes would have landed better, and him just being in that role would have been more likable.
Yeah. Yeah, for some reason you like John Candy looking up a skirt, but this guy? No.
Yeah, I feel bad, like, ragging on this actor. I mean, I don't think it's his fault, but I'm just saying that John Candy could have saved it, you know?
Maybe, yeah.
So they're dumping on the fraternities. At this point, I was just like, I was beginning to like Hermie because he wasn't Oski. Like, I felt myself just like, oh, okay, this guy's the good guy just because he's not as obnoxious as that guy. So he shows up at a newspaper and there's a girl there that's arguing about how her writing is good. And she brings him in because his name's Herman, like Melville, so she says he's a writing expert. She reads an excerpt from her writing. He says it's terrible. She storms out of there, and he gets a job at the newspaper. But we never see him ever do any work at the newspaper ever again.
We see him writing occasionally.
Yeah, occasionally he will be writing.
Yeah, but you never hear anything more about the newspaper.
Yeah. So we cut to the room, and Oski and Hermie get... Oski and Hermie get a letter from Benji.
Yeah, nothing too special.
Yeah,
just another scene. They just show it. They're in a little room together.
The only thing that I wrote down is Oski's talking about some broad, and he uses the greatest term to describe her. He says she's got a wild pair of cupcakes.
That's like, he told her she had a wild pair of cupcakes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's like the only good thing out of that whole scene.
Yeah.
So then they go get a beer and argue at the bar, and that's it.
Oh, no, he burns the letter from Oski.
Oh, I didn't even pick that up.
Not Oski burns the letter from Benji.
Yeah, because Oski's a and of course yeah, he would.
He's looking for the lemonade or the lemon juice message.
Oh, right, right.
Just to find out where he is somewhere in the Pacific.
Man, you were into this.
No, I wasn't.
I did not pick that up at all.
Oh, my goodness.
I was just, like, letting this happen at this point. So then Hermie calls up Julie, and they go on a date, and none of the date is shown. It's just cut straight to them making out at a tree.
In the woods, making out against a tree that happened to be a sugar maple tree.
Was it a sugar maple? I thought it was a sycamore.
No, that was later.
Oh, okay.
Because they're making out. He stops, says, "This is a sugar maple tree."
Really?
Yeah.
Just...
Yeah.
Apropos of nothing.
Interrupting the making out. And then she kind of gets distracted because of that and walks away, and they talk a little more. And then they start making out again, and this is a sycamore.
That's exactly how this movie works, too. Just like, because the next scene just, oh, it's them, and they're apparently dating now, and they're watching Oski play football.
Yeah.
And then she mentions they should be in fraternities, so they go to the Phi Sigma Nu initiation. And, this is awesome. It's got another familiar face in it. William Atherton is the fraternity president. And I actually really liked him in this. William Atherton, if you don't know, he's in the Die Hard movies.
The reporter.
Is he? He's a reporter. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I really remember him in two. I barely remember him in the original Die Hard.
The original, he was great because he threatens their nanny.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. With so she's the one that... Yeah, and he gets punched.
Yeah.
Every Die Hard movie. That's why Die Hard 3 and 4 and 5. Is there 5?
I don't know.
There is 5, yeah, because there's the Justin Long one. I don't think he's in the rest of those. He's just in the first two. That's why they failed. No William Atherton.
Yeah, he would have been good in the rest.
I liked him in this as the fraternity president. Like...
He did okay.
Yeah.
He reminded me of somebody else. I couldn't place it.
Yeah, I thought he was likable. Like, it's the youngest I've seen him in a movie.
Yeah, but he did reasonable. He fit the part.
Yeah, he was good.
A little bit of a jerk, but did what he did.
Yeah. The acting was kind of all over the place in this movie. It was some people turning in, like, okay performances. But, like, I guess because he did a good job, I was like, hey, all right, William Atherton.
Yeah.
So then they have super tame initiations where they just get pelted with eggs.
Pelted with eggs.
And then
there was the olive on and the ice.
No, so they get pelted with eggs. Next scene is they squeeze into a phone booth.
Oh yeah.
Next scene is the ice and the olive.
The phone booth was interesting.
Was it?
Yeah. It was kind of dumb because they are told to go into the phone booth, and once they get everybody in, okay, you're going to get a phone call. You have to answer it, find out who it's for, give that person the receiver, and complete the call.
Right.
Now, this isn't just a phone booth with a modern handset. It's the earpiece
and the mouthpiece.
And the stationary mouthpiece. So you can't, the other person can't talk.
Right.
So they ring it and everybody freaks out. Get the phone, get the phone, get the phone. They answer it. And who was, it was for some.
For Don Amici.
Yeah, Don Amici. And like, what the hell? And they just open the door and fall out. Like, okay, that's what you're going to do?
Fraternity guys, because this is a funny college movie.
Yeah. And then there was the olive game.
Ice in the olive, which I love. There's an ice on a, there's a block of ice, and there's an olive on it. And two teams compete, and they're just like, oh, this will be easy. And then you can't use your hands, you can't use your mouth, you can't use your ears. You have to use your ass to move the olive around.
Well, Oski asks, what's left?
Right. And they never show it. They just cut to Oski and Hermie laughing about what a great time it was.
We would have had it if What's-His-Face didn't drop it.
Yeah, it took 20 minutes.
Bad.
That's terrible. And then it cuts to the tie a bell to your dick thing, where the fraternity president tells everybody to tie a bell to their dick, and two people have to have a tag that hangs out of their pants that's attached to that bell that says, pull me.
Was that two people, or was that all of them?
No, it was just two people.
Okay.
And then it cuts to a classroom scene, which is great. The teacher in this is amazing. I got to find...
It eventually got to the classroom. There's a little more there where Hermie says he won't do it.
Right, yeah. He's not going to tie the bell. But yeah. But Julie tells him he needs to.
I don't know about that.
She tells him he should. She thinks it's funny.
Yeah, I don't think he did, though. Because in the classroom scene, I don't think he... We get to the classroom scene.
And the teacher is the greatest. This teacher is just amazing because he's just one of those guys that just answers his own questions.
Yeah, but he waits for somebody to raise their hand.
Right. Yeah. So
he's
it'll be
great.
Yeah. I don't even know what class it was.
I don't know.
Was it history? I wish I could think of a specific quote, but he'd be like, who did this thing?
I'll tell you.
Yeah. Everything. He just rambled on, and mostly people slept.
But early on in the movie, when we were there,
right,
we got him doing it and everybody energetically putting their hands up, waiting for to answer.
Right.
And he answered.
Yeah.
But in this scene, everybody's just kind of like, so one person at a time will just throw up their hand a little bit, like just to show him that they're paying attention enough that he can answer.
Yeah, I like this. I like the teacher a lot.
Yeah.
It seemed like a role that if they'd given it to Charles Grodin, he would have nailed it.
That's who he reminded me of.
Yeah.
That would have been great.
Yeah. He was probably too young at the time, right? But
definitely reminded me of him.
So they're in the classroom, and all of a sudden you hear a bell start ringing, and I'm immediately thinking, oh, somebody's jacking off in this classroom.
Well, was Oski getting bored?
Yeah.
And so he started playing with it.
And then apparently everybody in that fraternity takes that one class together because slowly all the bells start ringing. It was a funny scene.
As the professor starts... messing with his ears, thinking that he's hearing bells for no reason.
Right.
Because bells actually sound, or when your ear gets like that, it actually sounds like bells.
Again, another scene that makes me think, attempt at comedy.
Yes. Somebody said, no, this is going in the movie. Do this.
I mean, I'm glad this is in the movie. It's one of the enjoyable scenes.
Yeah. I'm talking about the professor noticing and not saying anything.
Yeah.
That was a bad visual.
Maybe if he had hammed it up more or something, I don't know.
It was just bad.
Yeah. So then they go to a Phi Sigma Nu dance.
That was one of the best transitions in the movies, though.
Yeah, it kind of was.
Because from the bells, like, eight of them playing with their bells or their balls, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
It cuts to the school's bell tower and all those bells.
Oh, right, yeah.
I thought that was a great transition.
That was. Yeah, so then we end up at the Phi Sigma Nu dance, and Julie is there with Hermie. And they go out onto the patio after the song Mersey Dotes starts playing.
Yeah, I don't agree with the name that they put in the credits.
Yeah, they spelled the name of the song. It might be the way it's spelled. Mairzydoats. Mairzy Doats, even though the lyrics are Mares Eat Oats.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's that version.
I don't know.
Is it from Twin Peaks that I know it the most?
I don't know.
When Leland is driving back and forth on the road singing.
I never got into that.
I think that was the one, Mairzy Doats.
I got like four episodes into Twin Peaks and I was just like, f*** this.
It takes effort, but it's not bad.
So, so Mairzy Doats comes on. Hermie gives Julie his bell in a box as a present.
That kind of, Justin Timberlake did a song about that, didn't he?
So, yeah, that's terrible. And then we cut to a car scene of them in the woods in Julie's car making out, where all of a sudden Hermie loses all of his likability for me.
He became just a date rape guy.
Yeah, it was essentially a date rape scene. They're making out and then she's like, "No." And he's like, "But I love you." And she's like, "I love you." And the thing I wrote down is he said, "Something has to be done.
I can't go home like I did last time."
Right. Yeah. Yeah, like just super aggressively, like, "You are gonna fuck me or we have a problem."
Yeah, it got really rapey and really bad.
Yeah, and while he's fucking her, he's just flipping through the radio.
I think they were still just making out because they had just laid down. The car didn't start rocking until they cut away and the radio was playing classical
music. Right, right. But yeah, he's flipping through the radio while making out with her, which is like, it's such a weird, like, disinterested move. And then he says, "There's no more music left in the world anymore."
Yeah. And she's like, "You'll kill my battery." He's like, "What about my battery?"
Yeah, I didn't understand that at all. Like, is that what he calls his like, my battery?
I don't know. But she calls that back later. It's just bad.
I was just like, Hermie is totally unlikable. And then he comes back to the frat house, and there is a line of 20 guys going up the stairs to Hermie and Oski's room, where Oski is standing there
with his girlfriend in the room.
Right.
He says, "Oh, she's a whore."
Yeah.
And he's offering her to everybody for $2.
$2. And I went to dollartimes.com to do the inflation math. From 1944 to 2015, $2 becomes the equivalent of $26.98. Still the world's cheapest whore. So she's $30, like, and 20 guys, like, if that was an insane line. And guys are coming out, like, every 2 minutes, and people are laughing at him and stuff. Oski's collecting money at the door.
Oski did say when he was first talking about her that she was really dumb.
Right.
He was complaining that his love life is weird because he's got a dumb girlfriend.
Which then makes it so much crazier that he's defending himself by, it was her idea. Well, she's a dummy. Yeah. Dummies have bad ideas.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, maybe that's why the $2 is in there, because she's dumb, but he's supposed to be her pimp. He's pimping her out.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a very weird scene. It's very, like,
Oski's mad that it's in their room. Start hearing the noise.
Hermie's mad that it's in their room.
Hermie's mad that it's in their room.
Right. And then some administrators burst in and throw Oski out of school.
Yeah, is there a girl in there?
Like, that's a normal occurrence for 20 dudes to be lined up on the stairs because they're f***ing somebody in a room.
Yeah, and one of the guys just chickened out and took off, so that you never know what happened with that. Maybe it was just, hey, somebody's in there.
I thought the joke was that he just finished really fast, because he went in there and closed the door.
No, I'm talking about the guy in the stairs while they're arguing.
Oh, okay, yeah, there is a dude that chickens out, yeah.
Yeah, so that could be why the administrator shows up. And
This is just the level of this movie. It's a funny scene, but it's just out of nowhere, and it's apropos of nothing. And then we just cut to, after Oski gets kicked out of school, it's Julie and Hermie in the library, and she's telling them all kinds of ways to cheat.
Yeah, and after she starts singing some classical music, which I didn't check, but I bet it's the song that they were listening to when they first did it.
Maybe, yeah, there was that operatic song.
Yeah, and
she's like forced, like begging him to take her on a sexy drive, she calls it.
Yeah.
It's a really weird scene, and she's like corrupting him almost, because he's never cheated, and she's teaching him ways to cheat on tests and stuff.
Yeah, pretty bad ways.
The string way was pretty funny. So you write on a crib sheet that'll fit in your palm. You attach it to a string that then gets attached to the back of your belt.
something like that.
Right, so that if a teacher comes by, you can just raise your arm like you're stretching and the crib sheet disappears up your sleeve.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he just, after they go for their sexy drive, I guess, he comes home and he's got a new roommate named Marty. Everybody hates Marty, I guess, because he stinks.
Yeah.
And that's it. He just goes to bed.
Tells him to go to bed or go to the bathroom or something and just treats his new roommate like
he's a jerk. Treats him like shit. Like, just all of a sudden, you're just like, oh no, this isn't about one guy and his nice friend. This is about two people. And Benji is only likable in my eyes because he's not in this movie much.
Yeah.
And we never watch him do anything terrible.
Well, he didn't tell his friends he enlisted until the day before he left.
Yeah.
So he's kind of a jerk, too.
Yeah, but I wouldn't tell my shithead friends either. And just be like, yeah, I'm leaving tomorrow.
Apparently the three of them were really close. So.
Yeah. Yeah, they had like a nickname. It had it on IMDb. They're called like the Terrible Threesome or some shit.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's it. He comes home, new roommate, goes to bed. Then they cut to one of my favorite scenes in the film where everybody's using the crib sheet technique to cheat.
Yeah. First you get him taking a test with something in his
shoe.
Yeah,
a note in his shoe.
And it's like, okay, you've got to be right really big to be able to see it all the way down in your shoe and not get noticed that you're looking down in your shoe.
Right, and he almost gets caught, and I thought it was like...
With the most silent professor walking around a room for a while I've ever seen.
I thought it was like, I thought it was going to be a scene like that where he tries to cheat and then he doesn't and he stops cheating. But no, the immediate next scene, he's using another one of Julie's methods to
not
cheat.
Just him, though.
Yes.
I loved that the professor got up, started walking the room, and as he goes by, there's like a wave of people just doing the exact same stretch.
It was
stretch.
Just like the wave at a ballpark or something.
Yeah,
just
everybody raises their left
the
hand
stretch.
And stretches and then scratches their head. It was as he walked, it was like, okay, something's wrong here. But it was great that everybody did it.
Yeah, I love that scene. It's kind of like every 20 minutes this movie would give you something, like one enjoyable thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's that scene, and then... Hermie and Julie are in the car having a sweet chat, and then Julie drops the bomb.
Well, the best line of that is, if you tell me that you're pregnant, I don't know you.
Yes, again, yeah. Super f***ed thing to say to a person.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
You
never know, she could be pregnant and just threw something else out there to piss him off.
Yeah, so he says that to her, and she says, no, it's nothing like that. She's been writing to some guy that's in the service, and she's not able to date Hermie because she's going out on a date with this guy.
They have tickets to a dance.
Right. Hermie and Julie have tickets to a dance, and she can't go because she's going to be going out with G.I. Joe.
Yes, he's in the Navy or something from her hometown. He's been writing her.
Yeah, so basically, like,
because
I can't go to that.
In the Navy.
Yeah, I can't do that thing with you because I got to go f*** this serviceman.
Maybe.
She doesn't imply she's going to f*** him, but.
No, but obviously Hermie implies that she's going to go do that.
Right.
Because he says, who are you going to see on Sunday?
Right, right. Because he's an
Yeah.
So, nice little chat. He storms off, and that's it. He comes back to the frat house. He's a to Marty, his roommate. He tells him he stinks.
Finds all of his dirty laundry under his bed. So, yeah. I understand that he stinks. Kicks him out. They fight a little bit.
Yeah.
And the phone rings.
Yeah, the phone rings. He gets a phone call. It's pretty somber. At this point, I'm assuming he's going to find out Benji died, because that would make sense. But of course, because it's this movie, he finds out his dad died. And immediately, I was just like, do we know this guy? I don't think he said any words in the movie. Maybe he was present.
He was probably at that party, one of that long scene in the beginning.
Right.
He's going around hugging and kissing everybody. But... don't know him, don't have any attachment in the movie. Just
don't give a shit. Just like this guy you never met
like
is dead.
The frat guy that said, what's wrong?
Yeah.
He's like, was that call for me?
Yeah.
No, what's wrong? My dad died. Not a word, walks away.
Yeah, that's it.
That's kind of how I feel about the guy's dad.
Exactly.
I don't know. Okay.
Hermie doesn't give a fuck because he's a horrible person. So we just cut to the wake, and he's just looking at his dad's shit and smells at his dad's clothes. This part is available on YouTube, by the way, guys. There's one video put up by some dude, and it's Class of 44, part 9 of 10. So if you want to watch the weirdest, worst 10 minutes of this movie, you can do that. He's just kind of cruising around checking out his dad's stuff. And then Oski shows up and just says, sorry, I missed the funeral.
In an army uniform.
Yeah. He's been stationed in New York. in like a boring typist position. So we know Oski's going to be okay, thank God. Benji's life is in danger, the only guy we don't hate, but Oski's all right.
Yeah.
Then they go out.
Convinces him to go to drink in his dad's honor.
And nothing ever goes well when they go out to a bar, so they get into a huge fight.
Well, yeah, it's a college movie, and it's the formula, I guess, for the 70s, but it's a cliche. Right. You go out and get drunk and get in a bar fight.
Yep.
But it was the dumbest way to start it.
I didn't even see how this got... Like, I was so just waiting for this movie to be over at this point.
Oski, as they're walking out, walks up to... Okay, first of all, they finish their beers and throw the glasses.
Right.
Nobody reacts to that.
No, that's just
either that's what you do at this bar, or they just said, don't react to
it. It's like one of those steakhouses where you just throw your peanut shells on the floor, but yes. This is just shattered glass all over the dance.
I don't get it. Because people are right there playing some bowling game.
That didn't even, it didn't even cross my mind.
And
I was just
girl
like,
keeps bending at this over, point, these and people Oski keeps saying stuff like excellent or just really perverted, just looking at her saying things. And they finish their beers and throw the glasses.
I just saw that, like, of course they did, because they're horrible f***ing people.
Yeah.
I mean, this is
one
guy. Is
this the hometown, and so the people know that these guys are jerks, so just whatever, let them go.
Yeah.
Weird. Okay, so as they're walking out, they see some servicemen, and the Oski, in his uniform, walks up to these guys and starts saying something funny about taking down names or something. And so eventually the guys start laughing. And one of the guys takes his hat off and puts it on Hermy. And Hermy right away takes it off and throws it. And the guy's like, hey! And gets up and starts the fight. It was like, okay, you're going to get that upset about your hat. I understand you're in the military and it's your uniform.
Well,
okay,
super
I get
huge dick move by Hermy just to be like, fuck your hat.
Yeah, what? Just give it back to the guy.
Yeah.
You don't want it on you? Just dumb. And then it's just a bar fight and everybody's fighting everybody because it's a bar fight.
Yeah.
And
because it's a 70s movie bar fight. Yeah. Just immediately everybody has to start punching each other.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the scene in...
You would think they would just... Hermy is not in the service and he's drinking with nothing but servicemen. You would think at that point it would just be everybody beating up f***ing Hermy who just bashed the service.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I didn't pick that up at all. I was just like, 70s bar fight scene, nothing interesting going on
here. You kind of expected like the Million Ways to Die in the West fight scene where the two just guys in the back just swinging arms back and forth.
Right.
But
yeah.
It's just a dumb cliche bar fight.
And then they're just drunk driving home.
Yeah, driving home.
You can't really tell that they're drunk until they say that they're drunk. At first, you're just very confused because the acting is bad. They're saying,
we ran out of gas. Or I guess we're there.
Yeah, they just say weird things like, oh, they run out of gas and they say, I guess we must be there then. And it's not.
Where are we?
Yeah. It's not until they get out and Hermy says, we're in no shape to drive.
Well, Oski falls on the ground in the middle of the street.
Right. But just based on their performance, like, they do not act drunk. They act like people who have never seen a drunk person, never been drunk. They're just like, you guys are drunk. And they're like, we got this. And they're just, drunk people just say, they acted like they were on LSD. Just totally normal and then saying way out there shit.
It was dumb. All of a sudden, Oski can't stand, and then all of a sudden he can.
Yeah. And then, they march home.
Yeah. They start marching home.
Oh,
arm.
Yeah, they find out where they are. Hermy does the whole lick his finger and put his finger there to see where
says,
the wind is.
That way.
Yeah, and then they just march like it looks like maybe 40 yards down the street to their house.
Yeah, well, the scene just cuts, so you never know. But
and they just leave
the
car there
in the middle of the
just
street.
Middle of the street. Doors open. Yeah.
I didn't see him take the key out. So
nope. Just a car there.
Fill it up with gas. He got a new car.
Yeah, perfect.
Oski's dad's car.
They never return to see if that car is there. It's never spoken of again. Just
no
that.
Hey, there's cut around so much.
That's how this movie works.
It cuts to them.
Yeah, then they get home,
walking in, singing parts part of the Battle Hymn of the Republic from the beginning.
Just the marching.
Oh my goodness, that's the worst part of a great song.
And then Hermes loses it. About his dad, he says he can't remember his face, and I can't either because he's never mentioned. Or
you can't remember his face?
Yeah, can't remember his dad. But then Oski is suddenly sober and comes to his aid to
calm him down, comfort him, put
he's
him in
instantly
bed.
The sober guy.
Yeah,
that doesn't happen when you're the f***ing drunk guy for the night. You are the guy who f***ing ruins everybody's night. There's not a point where you just instantly become sober and turn around. Like,
no. He was drunk. We were like, oh, I know, man. Doesn't that suck?
Yeah, maybe
it would
this,
make it worse, not
this
better.
Writer and director, maybe they have never touched alcohol either, because this is written and directed clearly by people who are not familiar with alcohol. Yeah, and then after that, they just cut to a train station, and Julie shows up and says something about...
Oh, as Hermes calling a cab from the payphone.
Yeah.
And flashes her lights at him, and then honks and flashes again. And then plays this game of, you need a lift, sir? Yeah. Can I take your bag, sir?
Yeah, very bizarre. And it ends with an M. Night Shyamalan twist. This might be my favorite part of this movie for two reasons. Because it was f***ing over, and it was, like, so bizarre. He says she's got her lights on and stuff, and at one point at the end of the conversation, he goes, you're going to run down your battery. She says, never. They get in the car, and the battery dies.
Yeah, yeah. That was just the callback to the, what about my battery scene?
That's a weird thing to call back to, just to be at the end of the movie. Remember, you hate this guy because he's a rapist?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
At least very forceful with women?
Yeah.
Just, so this movie isn't, it's not good. It's not bad to the point where it's fun to watch. It's just not a movie I would recommend anybody see. Watch...
So that sounds like you're saying it's a bad movie.
It's, I mean, but there's bad movies that are fun to watch, like...
Yeah, it's not bad in a good way. It's not those horrible movies you want to watch.
Yeah, it's not Slumber Party Massacre or one of those, like, you know, like one of the, what was that guy's name, Orville Ketchum? It's not one of those. Those movies are delightful. They're delightfully bad. This movie is just like a so-so, okay, 70s show. I wrote down, it's a bummer sandwich. Because it starts with the world's most depressing graduation, and it ends with two people just out of gas, at a train station, or not out of gas, in a dead car.
I was expecting to see, once the lights turned off, to see this car start rocking.
Right. Something. Anything. Yeah. Just like, it was almost a joke when those credits started rolling. Just like, oh, this is how they're going to f***ing end it. Just a big bummer sandwich. You have no idea which, like, usually in a movie you have some idea where the direction of these people's lives are going to go. Maybe they thought at some point they would do a sequel and clear it up, but Oski's a shitty typist at an army base.
Benji's probably dead.
Yeah, maybe. Probably dead's a pretty grim way to look at it.
He's a Marine.
If they were going to kill him, it would have made sense for it to be him at the end instead of the dad. Like, that...
I don't know.
That would have made this movie have an arc.
Yeah.
It did not have an arc.
That probably would have been a little better.
Yeah, it would have made sense to me if Benji had died, for them to be like, oh, bummer, Benji's dead.
Yeah, it would have made Oski felt like a jerk, because how many times did he say, you know he's going to die, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah, throughout the whole movie, he's just like, yeah, you know our best friend? He's f***ing dead.
Yeah.
God. Yeah, I do not recommend this. Watch the 1 minute of
the
John Candy.
On Amazon.com.
Yeah, the Amazon trailer is just John Candy's scene. Watch that if... And you're good. You don't need to watch anything else. And even that, I would say, not very indicative of his work. He doesn't really get a chance to shine in this movie.
Just a reasonable actor for the time.
Yeah.
A good part for his portfolio back when he was looking for work.
I mean, it's his first film movie. He had a couple of TV things before. I'm sure this helped him, you know.
I just want to know why he's uncredited.
Yeah, I don't know.
Enough lines.
At this point, uncredited doesn't mean shit. If you're on IMDb, you're credited.
Yeah, but it says uncredited. I'm just curious.
Yeah, because it's not like he was a 5 and under or whatever, you know. He has more than 5 lines.
Yeah.
But
who knows what it was back then.
Yeah, I have one fun fact. Deborah Winters, who plays Julie, now works as a real estate agent for Keller Williams in Houston, Texas.
Did she do anything else?
She did some stuff, but not a whole lot. I didn't think she was especially bad in this. She was an attractive woman. I don't know why she didn't move on and do plenty of other stuff.
Did anybody else move on and do anything reasonably well?
Other
than the head of the fraternity.
The guy who played Hermie did a few things, and then he said he just wasn't happy with what he was being offered, and then he just kind of stopped acting. Somebody offered him a TV series he didn't care about. The guy who played Oski, my least favorite person in this, moved on and did a ton of voiceover work. He's credited with a lot of additional voices stuff. He was in Aladdin. So he went on and did stuff. And the guy, I think his name is Sam Bottom. The guy who played Stinky Marty, the new
Yeah, Sam Bottoms. He played Stinky Marty, the new roommate. He went on and did a lot of stuff as well. He was a working actor until the day he died. So, but other than that, it's a whole bunch of people who don't even have pictures on their IMDb. It's just like nothing. And yeah, just like this movie, it's a big pile of nothing.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it. I can't say I'm not glad I watched it, but I'm kind of not glad I watched it.
Yeah.
Especially when I watch the trailer and I see John Candy and you tell me that he's only in one scene. Like, why are we spending money to watch this?
Well, you paid the $3.
Yeah.
Tell you what, I'll pay for next one.
Right, the one that's on YouTube.
Yes. So next episode will be the movie from 1975. It seemed like a good idea at the time. This has a 4.1 on IMDb.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a good idea at this time.
It doesn't even have a plot added. And this is starring Anthony Newley, Stephanie Powers, and Isaac Hayes.
Is he credited in that one?
John Candy is credited as a character named Kopek, I believe. I'll find out how to pronounce that once I watch the movie. This movie is full movie for free on YouTube, and not one of those weird part one of two type of things.
Yeah, it's the whole thing right now.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of the opening credits. It looks delightful.
I don't know.
But any movie that doesn't even have a plot synopsis is...
You're going to have to add that in after this.
Yeah.
Give yourself an IMDb Pro account.
I do not want to do that. I do not care. And this has been reviewed by 20 people. So a lot of people have reviewed this one, and it's 4.1.
Below a 5.
Yeah.
Nice.
So tune in next week for another terrible movie. But at some point it gets good.
Hopefully.
No, definitely. I mean,
well, I know, but how long is that going to take? How many movies are there before we get to one we're going to like?
Oh, man.
And what would it be? Stripes?
You're doing
a lot of scrolling right now. That doesn't.
No, we might like some of these movies. I'd say as far as something I like, we got some episodes before we get to the Blues Brothers.
Was he in the early Blues Brothers?
He was in the Blues Brothers, and then from there it just takes off. Blues Brothers, Stripes, Heavy Metal, National Lampoon's Vacation, Great. Going Berserk, Splash, Brewster's Millions,
Great part.
Sesame Street presents Follow That Bird.
That's a movie. Okay.
I have high hopes for that. I mean, at the time they were doing good stuff. Summer Rental, great. Volunteers, great. Armed and Dangerous, Little Shop of Horrors, Spaceballs, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, She's Having a Baby.
Yeah, we get into some epic movies.
Yeah.
The reason we're doing this is coming up.
Yeah, but I mean, it's going to be fun. Hot to Trot, I'm really curious to revisit. That's the Bobcat Goldthwait racing horse movie.
Yeah.
I remember loving that movie as a kid, but apparently Warner Brothers just never released that on DVD. Like, they just shelved that movie and buried it. Apparently it's a piece of shit, so I'm really curious to go back.
I remember liking it.
Just recently they finally re-released it when they did their Warner Archives thing, so I'm really curious to watch that one again, because everybody seems to hate it. But yeah, at a certain point it's all win for John Candy. I mean, it's pretty much nothing but stuff that I like.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's it for the inaugural episode of Popcorn with Candy.
Anything? Yeah, hopefully it doesn't suck.
Yeah. Yeah, there's going to be a few suck.
Yeah, but I mean, hopefully we don't suck.
All right, that's it. You want to plug anything?
No.
All right. Buy all my f***ing music. Octopus Caveman. We going to do a Facebook page for Popcorn with Candy?
I don't know. I'm setting up the site. It's going to be lame. But it's going to be there.
Yeah, so there will be a Popcorn with Candy website, and we should probably make a Facebook page.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll do that. So
popcornwith.com.
Yep. And find us on Facebook and give us a like and share with your friends.
Next time we set it up, we'll tell you guys what it is.
Yeah, tell you what. Wait till you share it with your friends.
Yeah.
Maybe wait until we have a few out. Maybe the Brewster's Millions.
Yeah, give us a little bit, then try it out and say, oh, go listen to that one, and then maybe you want to listen to the older ones.
Yeah, listen to this one, and then wait a few months. Listen to the good ones.
Let's see how it turns out.
Yeah, let's call it a day.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks.
Sorry, folks. Park's closed. The moose out front should have told you.